The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand.
Welcome back, everybody. Final hour of Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We're going to dive into some baseball here with Coach Stuart Lake, who is admirably filling some big shoes up in the radio booth here. Still enjoying the work, Stu. Although, golly, my mind just went blank because I was trying to do two or three things at the same time, man. I'm sure that happens to you. Like, look, here we are. Anyway, live broadcasting. This is fun, isn't it, Coach?
Stu, had to be an interesting night at the ballpark Tuesday night. I'm certainly not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill over a midweek game.
Right.
But it just seemed lifeless. What was your take there? Because maybe you get a better feel for it than someone that's just watching it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you the coach's take first, and this is what I told Derek that night. I do think Eddie Copper is a very well-liked teammate. And when you see a teammate go down, I still haven't heard – I may have missed it yesterday because I was out on the road with this job, the severity. But I know what it certainly looked like. And I know as a teammate, when you see him holding his elbow, pointing to it, I just think that was the immediate – punch in the gut. And then hats off to Georgia Southern, because you know, if we get out of that inning and Ty Good was about to get out of it, he came in two guys on, struck two guys out, then the third guy bowels his tail off, gets a walk, and you're thinking, okay, I mean, that's, you're not gonna strike three guys out probably coming in that situation. Then the grand slam was just a almost like an elbow. Since it's WrestleMania weekend, JC, I'm going to use the line. That was off the top rope in the second inning. And I looked at Derek and said, I don't know tonight if they come back. And I said that to him off the air in that second inning, because it was already a different feel. It was a Wednesday night game, not a Tuesday, which meant you'd had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off, which I'm telling you, baseball guys, that's why pro baseball does it. They don't take but one day off a week. And pro, you get out of your rhythm. And I just felt like all day Wednesday, because I get over early, it was out of rhythm. But now from the media side, because I've really loved getting to dig into numbers in a different way, here's the key to us winning and losing. When we win, we get walked. 182 walks in wins. Now listen to this. When we lose, eight losses, only 37 walks. And that number is even skewed more because Alabama walked 11 guys last Thursday night. In our losses, this has been the walks. Georgia Southern, only 3. Alabama in the second game when they beat us, 4. Ole Miss, 3 in both wins. So walk 3 guys on Friday, 3 guys on Saturday. Clemson, 4, 7. Belmont, go back to when Belmont, our first loss of the year, only 2 walks. So offense is weird to me because I've never seen a Gamecock offense. I've never been around an offense that was predicated on getting on base by walks. And it's kind of become what they have become. Now, what that does lead you to do is I'm sitting here looking at my numbers. It leads you to be 3rd in the SEC because your on base percentage is .435. But the number one, y'all know number in all of this is runs. We're 5th in runs. So it's allowing us to still be having a good year. But it's been some weird numbers when you think of that way.
Wow. Yeah, some really close losses too, just about all year. I mean, the middle games in Tuscaloosa and Oxford, they got away ugly scores at the end, were close for 6-7 innings. I mean, it was just broke open at the end. But I kind of think this, and from your standpoint, you've been around a lot of baseball a lot more than we have, but I think teams like this that have those close losses and stuff, eventually the pendulum swings the other way. And I don't think this team's that far off. I don't think it's even come close to playing its best as a whole, though. We've seen signs, but I think there's still a hot streak these guys can get on, Stuart. Don't you? I mean, that's usually during a season you have ebbs and flows. And this team, I don't think's gotten going like it's capable. And I think that could still happen here with, 21 conference games left.
I certainly do. And I used to say, and it's kind of been an odd spring, I used to really tell our offense, we need to be our best when it's hot. And that was just a thing I got from Coach Tanner, because we used to think it was such an advantage if we played a regional, super regional here in Columbia over whoever we played. So we always talked about be our best when it's hot. Well, unfortunately, it ain't got hot yet. So here we are in April. It's even though today's really pretty. I mean, I got on a sweatshirt again today, and I'm going to have on something more in the booth. So I agree with you, Jason. I don't think we've seen what this offense can do. And although we're still doing well with power, it don't feel like sometimes we've hit a lot of home runs, but we're 7th in the league. We got 46. A&M's coming in tonight. They're 4th in the league and only have 56. So we're right there. I think the big thing's going to be as well as our pitching has been for us, is to get that weekend established again. I hope that can happen here soon, because I'm all about TBAs when it helps you. But when it's TBAs or TBDs or whatever they call it, it's hard on your team if you don't really know who the Sunday guy is. I like knowing if we're going to use a reliever on Friday and Saturday and then figure out Sunday, and your team knows that, then it ain't no big deal. But if you don't really know yet who that Sunday guy is, then you start as an offense feeling a lot of pressure where, man, we got to score 7 or 8 runs to win, instead of 3 or 4. So tonight I had a buddy of mine ask me, he said, man, this is a good A&M team. I said, yep. And we're going to know how good after they face Eli Jones, because Eli Jones throws what a lot of guys don't throw anymore. He throws that sinking fastball. And really – it's hard to hit at times. That's why he's had no hitters for 5-6 innings to start games and very low hits, because today's game is so based on spin rate, and he throws 97 miles an hour, but they hit that. And he throws that 92 to 94, this sinking. And when I was talking to the coach at Alabama last Saturday after Eli pitched on Friday, he goes, why the heck did we get away from that as baseball? He goes, that still wins, that sinker fastball guy. And I said, I think we all got caught up in internet and social media and telling recruits our kids throw hard. And the whole deal is, he joked with me, he goes, yeah, but they don't fire you for your kids throwing hard. I said, nope. Awesome. I promise you, I've been there.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up Eli's too, because I was going to ask you, like, does that TBA put the extra pressure on him too? Being, I mean, you already got it being the Friday guy, but I mean, but not knowing who the starter is and not having that full rotation set even this deep into the season, does that put added pressure on him?
He's aware of it, but I'm going to tell you guys, that guy could have played in any era of South Carolina baseball. I kind of joke, Billy Anderson, who's older than me, and I remind him all the time, we've been around here for a long time, and our joke will always be, could this guy have played for Coach Tanner? Could this guy have played when the teammates were Trey Dyson and Aaron Wall, and you go right into 2010. Those are some tough dudes that didn't give you a break. Could he have played with them? There are a lot of guys in the last few years, we'll go, no, he couldn't have handled it. Eli, yes. Eli Jones could not only handle it, Eli Jones would have been a guy during those eras we'd still be talking about. So he's aware of the pressure. I know he is, but I think he really relishes in it. Like he told me last week before that Thursday game, I'm starting Thursday night. This was on Monday. And I said, yeah. Oh, I don't know if they've made it official, but I'm starting Thursday night because I need to start the weekend for us. That's my job. I'm now that guy. I've been here and watched other guys. He watched Mahoney and Sanders. All them guys said that was their job. So I think he really enjoys knowing he's got to go out tonight and give you a quality start. But it'll be important because, as we'll talk about here, this is a really good hitting Texas A&M team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will Tippett can hit better than he's hitting. I think we know that. Yeah. But he's still down there. Low. What's he got to do to get things figured out by the time the stretch run gets here? And you know, what do you see as far as what why is he struggling? You know, as far as basically replicating the numbers he had last year. Like what does he need to do to get going?
Well, first of all, I've said it a bunch. If I wish they could eliminate some at bats for Will Tippett, and what I mean is if there's a sacrifice opportunity, let him get the sacrifice opportunity because now he's keeping up with his stats. Y'all know baseball, guys. We know numbers. This is my story recruiting. When I would ask a kid what his SAT and GPA was and he'd go, I don't know. I knew he was lying because I'm a baseball guy that don't know numbers. Because I would tell him that, well, it must not be very good because you're not telling me what it is. So I know numbers. So I would try to eliminate as many at-bats for him as I could, whether it be sacrifice bunts or whatever. It's so hard to be a switch hitter. I mean, I go back and look at guys that I've coached that were switch hitters, and I've coached some really good ones from Landon Powell. Brian Roberts was here as a switch hitter. Guy that just came through our program a few years ago, Noah Campbell, was a switch hitter. I coached guys at Ole Miss that were really good, and they all told me how hard it was, but they wanted to keep doing it. I wondered at some point, do we eliminate one side from Will Tippett? I don't know. They fought so hard to be that guy, but he's going to have to. I know he's made some adjustments in his swing. Coach Kingston talked about it this week with Derek in the pregame that we felt like we've made adjustments with him. But then it's kind of feel like you said, does Eli Jones know the pressure's on him? Well, then the pressure gets on you. And the other night was the first time I thought, and I use this term a lot, I thought he kind of took his bat out the shortstop with him. And that was one of the first times this season in the error that he made the other night that I thought I saw him do it. Could have just been a tough ball. Could have just been that moment where he got caught thinking about something else that was unrelated to hitting. But I thought it was. It went through my mind as I know how hard it is not to take your bat out with you when you do it. But I don't have a great answer. You know, Monty and I get to talk a lot, and that's why I enjoy getting to be around them. But I haven't seen that one thing that just stands out, except, and I say this a lot, boy, we take a lot of strikes. And we take a lot of fastballs for strikes. So maybe just try to get multiple swings right now if you're Will Tippett. You strike out, you strike out. Y'all have heard me say this. I'm telling you, I get mad when you strike out looking. You can probably hear me on the radio get mad because I keep looking, you have no to stick zero. A guy can't make an error if you don't swing. A guy can't foul tip a ball. If you don't swing, you can't get a hit if you don't swing. I love guys that get multiple swings off in at bats. And that's where Will is. He has taken a ton of first pitch strikes here lately.
Yeah, I don't like striking out looking either. It's it just makes me frustrated. I just, you know, I don't yell at the TV yet, but I think if we get into the hotter months, like you said, this continues, I may yell at the TV a couple times. Heck, I'm going to the Arkansas. I'm gonna be at one or two of those Arkansas games. So I never yell from the stands. That's just not me. So A&M, their top three guys in their lineup are obviously Derek Jeter and whoever, A-Rod and whoever else. I mean, they're really good. They've won some big out-of-conference games. They've cooled off a bit during conference play. I think they're coming in 6-3. What do the Aggies bring to the table? What's going to be what's going to be tough on Carolina? How's Carolina going to affect them? You know, kind of give us the lowdown of the matchup with A&M.
Yeah, well, I go a long way back with their head coach. Coach Schlossnagel was a East Coast guy that kind of just dove right into coaching. At one time, he was the head coach at UNLV. We went out at the College of Charleston to play when he was the head coach there. And then he came back, obviously, to TCU and what he's done at A&M. I really like how he handles things. I like this team in a sense that it's not just that one guy that we're going to feel like the guy we're all going to hear all weekend is Braden Montgomery. I mean, he is. He transferred from Stanford. Odd thing is he's a Jackson, Mississippi kid, so I don't know how Ole Miss and Mississippi State never called him somewhere along the way, but he's got incredible numbers, and there will be big-time scouts in here this week to see him because he's going to be a predicted, you know, early draft guy. He's a switch hitter, and it's going to kind of set a trend of what I'm about to say. Jackson Appel, switch hitter. You know, I can't even pronounce some of these names. Derek has to do the hard names. Jace LaViolette or something like that. Left-handed hitter. They're going to run 6 or 7 left-handed hitters out at you this weekend. And they have a really, I feel, out of the three teams we played, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and Alabama, I feel like this will be the best lineup we've seen. That doesn't mean that this necessarily at the end of the weekend is going to be the best team we've seen. On paper, it appears to be. Still think Vanderbilt's real good, and you can make a real good team look bad if you play well and they don't. We saw that firsthand here. But I do think this A&M team, I mean, they're coming in, you know, Montgomery 17 home runs. You know, they got 9 home runs, 13 home runs. They're going to come in here in the bats. And I kind of told Derek this morning as we were talking, maybe the cold air will help because it ain't going to be one of those west winds shooting out like it does here when it's 85 to 90 degrees. So hopefully that'll help us a little bit and keep some of them balls in the ballpark.
Yeah, that would be good. And then, you know, just have it shift when our guys come up now. That's so coach, you know, you think, and like, and not to harp on the, you know, the Sunday starter or anything, but there's no real strategy there holding out a name or anything that's being played with because of, you know, the craftiness in this lineup coming in, is there? I mean, it's not like we're like, well, it's full of lefty, so you just, you know, let's throw Becker out there and see how things go, you know, because it's like if they got 3 or 4 switch hitters on there, they just switch the side of the plate.
I really think this weekend Matthew Becker's got to be hands on deck. You know, if you get night to win, Matthew Becker's got to throw night. I mean, you can't just think that we're just going to do the same Veach and Gainey routine every weekend. You're not going to be able to do that. Matthew Becker, because he's so unorthodox, it's hard to hit. I mean, his hat's falling off at times. He's slipping on the dirt, but that's who he's done since like in high school, and it's hard to hit off him. So I got to think he's, you know, ready tonight. He'll be ready tomorrow. Then if he hasn't done much, I would kind of guess he might be the starter on Sunday if he hasn't thrown a lot Friday, Saturday. But I don't think there's a sneaky strategy that we're going to keep some name from them. I think this is having all those dudes ready to go tonight because Veach and Gainey, Becker, they're going to have to be involved in this game. I can't see Eli Jones throwing a complete game against his lineup. He hasn't at any point yet, and he's gone over 100 pitches. So, I mean, he's got that ability to do that, but I just think this offensive lineup will be too tiresome for him to maybe get through more. If he got us, if we're not going into the bullpen to the seventh inning, freaking everybody needs to stand up and clap for Eli when he walks off because that's been a good start.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got a good luck conference. Well, Stu, we appreciate it, man. Thank you for joining us as always. Thanks for coming in with JB's on the golf course and talking to us. We don't have as good of questions and don't know the game as well, but we love it. And certainly. So what are you guys going to do in the booth? You're going to have your TV in there, watch the basketball game at the same time tonight? Cause it's 7 o'clock first pitch, 7 o'clock tip off.
We're really lucky because the booth right beside us has the TV. So we are literally looking. I got caught up in, I'm telling you, the SEC game when we hit the game winner against Tennessee.
Yeah.
Hey, I probably didn't talk for like 3 minutes. I said, hello, I was watching that game.
Yeah, was it right?
That's awesome. Like, I'm watching it, but no, I'm going to have the game going tonight. And they've all been wearing me out, all of the Gamecock Club people, because in Cleveland, y'all know I'm a Browns fan. So they've been taking pictures and sending me.
Oh, nice.
I use the old term. You don't hear it a lot. But y'all remember when we were kids and everybody used to bring you souvenirs when they went on vacation? Nobody does that.
No.
So I've asked for some souvenirs. That I want some stuff. Bring it back. I'm holding you.
I'm a fan of souvenirs. Yeah, I got a collection of souvenirs. That's you're right. People don't do that enough anymore.
No,
that's crazy. That reminds me. Hale McGranahan is a 49ers fan. I did buy him a souvenir when I was in Vegas Super Bowl weekend. So I got to get that to him. So thanks for reminding me. But I'm with you. Give me some souvenirs, man. I got a shot glass collection of everywhere I've been. So, yes, somebody out there, get me a shot glass. But anyway, Stu, we appreciate it, bud. And we'll be listening and pulling for you and pulling for the team. And hopefully it's one of these good weekends, you know, around here with a national championship and a series win against a really good A&M ball club.
Well, it's going to be a great weekend. It is WrestleMania weekend, so I'll have that going all weekend. So the whole weekend, I'm excited for it. This is a sports weekend for me.
This is exactly. One of those big, convergence weekends for you. There,
the
right?
Weekend Coach, of Stu. Yeah. The weekend of Stu. That's awesome, man. Hey, thanks, Coach. Appreciate you.
Thank you all for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The great Stuart Lake joins us every Friday. Lake. Well, you know, we're kind of fortunate. Yeah, we get Derek on and we get Stuart on. We get Derek on before basketball. We get Stuart on. We have Brad on. I mean, those guys are really accessible. They get best seat in the house firsthand and they get to talk it and live it. And
yeah, man.
I don't know, man. I'm thankful for our guest. I really am. Thankful for all of our listeners. And all that stuff. Don't forget, if you're thankful for the mighty sound of the Southeast and thankful for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, go to Britain's the day of the spring football game. That's the 20th of April for their fundraiser for the band. The band's going and they need some money. They get the money together to make the trip, make it nice and all that. That's tremendous exposure for the University of South Carolina. And hopefully they'll play the fight song or something, you know, while they're marching down the beside the gigantic Snoopy. And Charlie Brown and whoever else, Bart Simpson, whatever floats they've got. I don't know what floats they have these days. I hope they didn't have that thing Caillou, though. You ever seen the Caillou?
Oh, Caillou?
Caillou.
Oh, yeah, I can't stand that. A Canadian television, little bald four-year-old or whatever it is.
It's a demented Charlie Brown, dude. It's evil.
It's a demented
just Charlie whines Brown. All the time. I'm like, oh, my God.
He is awfully weird.
I grew up on the Flintstones. I mean, even like Mr. Rogers was sort of docile, you know? He was like,
right.
Hello, children. Got to be good to everyone. This is my puppet, you know? That still is better than like, you know, kids like watch it and they think they should act that way. I'd get my ass busted if I acted that way.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
No. We're not allowed to be that.
big slam of Jan. Jan says the Rosie O'Donnell balloon will probably fly.
Caillou reminds me of Phil, to be honest. No, oh, thank you, Big Slim. I really appreciate that. That means a lot.
Good Lord. All right, how many more breaks we got? We got two more breaks.
Yeah, we got two more to satisfy our obligations.
We will satisfy our obligations right now, and don't forget, we are built by the Barn Doe Co. I got to say that more. And we are in the Cinerama Studios. And we are driven by Love Chevrolet, who sponsors our Mike Morgan Drive Around the SEC segment. We love Love Chevrolet. We love D's Wings. We love Salsaritas.
I need some D's Wings, man. I'm
we love Titan Construction. We love everybody. Tony Pope State Farm, Teresa Miley State Farm, Gary Patterson State Farm. We are the good neighbors, right?
We are your good neighbors. That's
we
right.
are your good neighbors. We love everybody. So thanks to all that make this show possible. And, you know, also those that are advertisers here because they contribute to NIL and stuff like that. We know what you do. We appreciate it. All right. Break time. We'll be right back.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Cold Joe here. And when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight out the bucket. Mmm. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning. It'll melt in your mouth. It's good on a cracker. It's good in a bowl. It's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well, and they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasporch.com. It's mm-mm good. Coach O, signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
What's up to the best fans in the country? This is Eli Jones, and you're tuned in to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Go Cubs.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are in the midst of the final hour of the show. Last 30 minutes of the program. Been fun today. Talked with Isaac Trotter, if you missed it, in the second hour about his thoughts on the Final Four, some transfer portal information, and got his thoughts on the Wetzel article about shoes and their waning influence over the game of basketball now in the time of the transfer portal and NIL. Really interesting conversation. Always good to hear from Isaac. He's a fun guest. And, of course, Stuart Lake, keeping JC and myself up to speed on what's going on the baseball diamond, as we both love the sport but do not understand it near as much as he would, being a former coach, and always keeps us in line. And with the numbers too, man, he comes in hot with those numbers, JC. Like,
oh yeah,
walks versus 37 walks. That really is. I meant to kind of probe him on that a little bit too, just to say, like, it, you know, is it an approach thing? What I mean, how do you just not walk? Or, I mean, I know that some of the competition you're facing, these pitchers aren't any better than some of the guys that you're winning against. So yeah, I wonder what really goes into that. You know,
it's probably that the tracker thing that. The umps, probably.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Half the time they're
it was like, nice, though.
What's that thing called? Are you like Uber Track or something?
Trackman.
So, anyway,
they use a different thing in MLB. Who it was either Grayson Griner, somebody was saying, like, and Major League Baseball doesn't use Trackman, they use a thing called it was either Hawkeye or something like that.
Hawkeye. That was
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I like that a lot better.
More comprehensive. Hawkeye. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God.
Hawkeye.
Those of you that were talking about, somebody asked what the spread tonight was in the women's game, Carolina minus 11 and a half, according to Caesars, which that's the app I use, Caesars. But before you go download it, sports gambling is legal in Illinois. Crazy thing, though, is they have all these different laws here, right?
Yeah.
Than Southern boy like me is accustomed to. You can't bet on state of Illinois colleges. So, like, Loyola played Illinois in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago, and I'm there with my buddies, and we're betting on everything else, and couldn't bet on it. Can't bet on Northwestern football, which is fine. Nobody cares. The Northwestern, but remind me to tell everybody, some people think the athletic department in South Carolina is a little, you know, slow on things. Northwestern doesn't even know where they're going to play football games, like 7 of their football games next year. They're tearing down Ryan Stadium. They're building a state-of-the-art, really nice stadium. But it's going to take 2 years. And so they've got one at like the major league soccer facility or minor league soccer facility here. They got one at Wrigley. I think they're going to play Ohio State at Wrigley, but there's like 5 other games. They have no idea. I mean, dude, it's April 5th. You don't know where you're playing your football games. There's half a stadium sitting there. Like, it's a torn, half of it's torn down, dude. I mean, anyway, so I digress, but yeah. So, the lines, let me get back to that. I did get off track there. Carolina minus 11 and a half on Caesars Sports app. And I use it because it calls me Emperor whenever I log on. I like that. It's like, hello, Emperor.
Hello, Emperor.
Sir. Caesars. Oh, hail Caesar. Anyway, Iowa is a 3.5-point favorite over UConn. Tomorrow, in the men's side, NC State only an 8.5-point dog against Purdue. Alabama is an 11.5-point dog against UConn. So that's, I guess they Vegas likes UConn to kind of keep on rolling. So that'll be awesome. Rashad Amos, you guys remember him? Remember Rashad?
Oh,
just a Rashad former Amos. Running backs coach. Just let him go, let him roll. Never played him. Rushed for 1,075 yards for Miami of Ohio last year, visiting Mississippi State this weekend. So Rashad may be back in the SEC. That'd be fun if he has a big year, right? Everybody can talk about that.
Yeah, that'd be. Oh, I can see the message boards just lighting up now. Yeah,
I like where South Carolina is at running back now, but man, like we were just talking about Little Turbo Dante Miller. By the way, Andy Staples on On3 has a big article about this. Andy was on with JC and Morgan earlier this week. go check that our article out, because Dante, you're going to find out a lot about Dante Miller.
I saw that. And yeah, he did sign.
With the Giants. Yeah, so good for him. But I mean, they could have used him. They could have, they could have used Rashawn Amos too this past year, to be honest, if we're being straight about it. Now, most running backs weren't going very far, regardless. There weren't a lot of holes, but still, I mean, that was an issue because Mario, like everybody else, kind of got worn down toward the end of the year. I don't think he was 100%, but they got some dudes this year, man. I keep thinking about the fact that Rocket Sanders transferred to South Carolina and nobody's even. I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one, he didn't have such a good year last year because he was hurt. And then number two, he's hurt. And everybody around here has been hurt by players being hurt before. So I think almost Carolina fans subconsciously have like just dismissed the fact that he transferred in.
It's awfully quiet.
I don't think about it that much either, to be honest, Phil. I mean, no. But if you kind of just like make yourself, and I made myself do this, so like focus on, I mean, that if he returns to form, he's one of the best running backs to play here ever. Right. Talent wise. I mean, he's up there with your Brandon Bennett's, Marcus Lattimore's, Harold Green's, George Rogers. I mean,
yeah, think about good. If he put up those 2022 numbers. Yeah.
Or even just is as good as he was in 2022. You talk about who's going to catch the passes this year. You know, Rocket Sanders is also a really good receiver. You know, that's what he was coming out of high school. I did some research too, because, you know, there was one mouthy fan on the internet on the Big Spur one day that called him fat. He was 242 last year in the preseason, and they asked Sam Pittman about him, and he was like, you take any off, you're going to have to use a scissors and take off skin. He's like, because there's no fat on him at all. And so I think that kind of encouraged me, because, you know, you look and you see 242, he's may just be a big boy that can run, which is even better. You know, that's what you want. You want a big, big dude that can. And so in the backfield next year, if you do have a healthy Rocket, and then you've got Attaway, and obviously Powell is going to be good. And I think Matt Fuller is going to be a good back here too, the freshman that's coming in. If you look at it like that, and you have a 6'2", 240-pound speed demon running back, and his game's not just speed either, Phil. Watching his clips from Arkansas, by God, he's elusive too. Yeah. There were some times in the game he rushed for 156 against Carolina. The Gamecocks actually had him, and he'd break a tackle or stutter step and get by. He can break tackles. He's great in open field, good receiver, all that. And then you have a 6'5", 240-pound quarterback that can run a 4.4.
Right. Yeah, that we know can move. We've seen
you're running zone read all day long.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That sounds intriguing to me. I don't know about y'all, but I almost think all of us have just, because he's been sidelined, we just don't even, it's like we got shell shock a little bit. We've been there before, and we just, you know, it's like, he'll never come back. He'll never be the same.
Yeah, so when I think about running back, I mean, you know, Attaway and Howell are where my mind goes first when I'm like, okay, running back room. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, wait, hold on. Rocket Sanders transferred in.
Yeah, I mean, and it's almost just like it almost was understated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and look, I'll tell you this too. Okay, so maybe, he rushed for, 1,400 and something sick, 1,400 yards at Arkansas his junior year. I don't think he's going to get that much. I don't think he's going to get that many carries at Carolina. I mean, he doesn't need to be the one man workhorse.
Right.
But he's special enough to really, really, really cause some problems. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, sometimes these things at running back also help your room overall. I think when Zach Evans transferred to Ole Miss, it really helped Quinshon Judkins as a freshman get out there and, you know, try to beat, you know, because Zach Evans was a five-star guy and a good back. It made Judkins work that much harder to get that job.
Yeah.
And I think competition's good for everybody. And, you know, I was impressed with how they rebuilt the room there. And I think, you know, because Howell's so young and you got Fuller coming in, and they'll probably get a back or two in this class, probably hit the portal again for a back. I think it's in good shape. It needed, you know, that room needed some TLC, but big time. And so I think, you know, that's exciting because, you know, this football program has struggled to run the football for years. I mean, when's the last time you could say Carolina had a really good run game? 14 maybe? Mike Davis?
Yeah, I was going to say.
2013? Yeah, I mean, 14 was.
Golly. 10 years, man. That's nuts that you could say that. And it's such a key to being successful, especially in a big physical conference like the SEC. How long has it been since we've been able to confidently just be like, okay, we got the ball at the end of the game with a lead, 2-3 minutes left, and just grind it out? It's been a long time since we've been able to have that confidence to grind a game out and just put it away.
Yeah. Now I'll say, okay, the 2020 team during the pandemic had a good, that was basically
their with Kevin Harris. Yeah.
With Harris. And nobody, but then there were games where if they shut Harris down, they didn't go very far. Like, A&M game, A&M just destroyed Carolina's line and nothing worked well. you know, Georgia, they didn't run it very far. That kind of thing. But, it's been a while. So I think sometimes, you know, if you're you really want to be able to run the football in today's game, I think. And it's one of those things where you want to be able to run it, but you can't rely so you have to be able to throw it at times too. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of teams that can, you know, get passes off, make plays in the passing game, all that. Not everybody can line up and run it on you. And it's very demoralizing to a defense when you can just hand it off, chew clock, that kind of thing. So, by the way, the AP has named their men's basketball coach of the year. For some reason, it's Kelvin Sampson.
Kelvin Sampson.
Narrowly. sorry. Narrowly edged Danny Hurley.
From Houston. The Houston guy. Yeah.
Lamont Paris finished third. I think it's bull crap that Kelvin Sampson got that award. What did he do to deserve that award? He lost in the sweet season. Well, yet again, they underachieved in the postseason.
Yeah, that, you know, and it's not like that team wasn't a contender for years. I mean, Houston's been, I mean, what, last year they had a good run. I don't understand. I don't know. Well, so JB and I did talk about this yesterday, JC. I'd love to get your opinion on it. Like, who do you think is going to win the Naismith Coach of the Year?
Danny Hurley.
You think so?
I think Lamont deserves it.
Well, yeah. And that's what we were saying.
Nobody did a better coaching job this year than him.
Yeah. But I think beating Oregon would have sealed that, and I think he came up with one win short.
You know? Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, though, Phil, you know, if you're going to hold that against him, the hell's the AP not holding Houston not getting past the Sweet 16 yet again?
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's like you don't know where the voters' heads are at.
You name
right?
Matt Painter the coach of the year last year? No.
No.
I mean, I that's just ridiculous. Houston. I mean, that they almost didn't get out of the second round. A&M almost beat them. But and Buzz Williams outcoached him that night. And I think Kelvin Sampson's a heck of a coach, man. I just don't. I mean, they've been good for an awfully long time. What was so special about his coaching job this year? Is it because it was his first year in the Big 12? Maybe.
Oh, I didn't even consider that.
Yeah, coming from the American. American's a pretty good basketball league. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe.
It could be some Big 12 baked in there. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe some Big 12 baked in there. Or just morons.
Well, it is the AP.
It's idiots that don't know about that don't think about anything.
Yeah,
but yeah. Right. So Lamont Paris did finish third with 8 votes, and Jared said, "Did his team score like 43 points once this season?" Yeah, Houston's a low scoring, kind of grind it out. That's how Kelvin Sampson's always coached. I mean, since his days at Washington State, Oklahoma, the brief stint he at Indiana briefly.
Yeah.
Right. So he was just jacking up cell phone calls and text messages to everybody. And then, no, man, that wasn't me.
No.
I often wonder, though, had he stayed there, what would Indiana basketball look like now? Because he is a winner. I mean, he wins everywhere. I mean, he would have, I think they would have been, they'd have been in good shape. Unlike now where they're.
No, this is not.
It's Mike Anderson or Mike Woodson is not the answer.
No, this is not your father's program, you know? Yeah. Like,
I mean, I don't understand. So anyway, So the people at the AP, and I'll go on the record and say I completely disagree with the choice. Unless there's like some. I just scanned the article, and it talked about like him growing up in Eastern North Carolina, upbringing, and all that good stuff. And that's all fine and dandy. And it's a nice story, but I didn't see, and I have to go back and read it again because I didn't dig in. Was there some kind of like obstacle they overcame this year at Houston, other than being in the Big 12? I don't know. Maybe if you guys know. Let me know. And you know, Danny Hurley, I get it. I mean, people sometimes, now that I've sort of dug into their roster and their situation there and see how many pieces they did replace off last year's team, he's similar to Dawn Staley in that, you know,
he's had to
retooled.
Yeah.
They reloaded. And, so that's it. So Kelvin Sampson, man. Over Danny Hurley and Lamont Paris. Wow. I wish that news would have broken before Isaac got on with us. I'd like to hear what he had to say about it.
Yeah, no doubt.
He probably would disagree. Yeah, he'd probably vote for Matt Painter. And as much crap as I give Purdue, I do like Matt Painter. I think he's a good guy. Nah, he's a good guy and a good coach. You know, kind of an everyman. He just coaches for the school that has, you know, they're not up there on the attractive co-ed list of mine, and their mascot's terrifying and gives me nightmares. And if you look at the old Purdue Pete, like most old mascots, Phil, are terrifying.
Oh,
like,
from the
40s and 50s, like even the Easter Bunny back in the day, horrifying. Like scary movie-ish, like gives me chills.
Yeah, like the one you'd see at the mall. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, the beady eye. No. You know, of course – throughout all this history, the Clemson Tiger has changed none. He's evolved at zero.
Still looks just as pieced together.
Yeah. Oh, Benny, what's up? What's up? Hey. Yeah. Am I going to do these push-ups? No wonder he could do so many damn push-ups.
Well, yeah, right. Exactly.
There's just...
lots going on there.
Mainline 5-hour energy all day. Is there like
18
cups of coffee?
Could you imagine how that thing smells? It's probably never been changed, you know, in 30 years. Oh, my goodness.
It's another terrifying thought. What if you went into, like, the area where they keep the tiger costumes and there's like 20 of them hanging up in a row, and you're lost, and you bump into talk
about a nightmare. Oh my gosh, yeah, that'd be worse than being in a hall of mirrors
or an army of Purdue Pete's back there. You know, you kind of run into this army of Purdue Pete's, and you're Jesus.
Help me, Jesus. Coming at you like giant chins flying at you, crazy eyed tigers.
Help me, Lord. Man, that would be just horrifying. But
yeah, it would.
You know, so anyway, mascots there. I could talk about them all day. So don't forget tonight, 7 p.m. So you got two major things happening tonight. You got baseball, SEC Network Plus at 7. And you've got the ladies tipping off against NC State at 7. I don't know what you want to do. You probably follow one or the other. Ed McInnes says, most terrifying, the Demon Deacon or Purdue Pete. I want you to do something for me, Ed. Take a picture of Alex Murdaugh, and put it side by side with the Wake Forest Demon Deacon. Tell me what you think. It's uncanny. I mean, I have it on my phone. I'll get Phil to put it up sometime.
Yeah.
Side by side picture.
I'll throw it up
two.
Next week. Yeah.
You're like, wow. If you made a cartoon version of Murdaugh and put a top hat on him, it would be the Wake Forest Deacon, which has all kinds of different crazy storylines. But I'd go with Purdue Pete still, Ed. I think the reason is I grew up with the Deacon, you know, in the upstate, me and Phil. We always had the pleasure of getting the Raycom Sports ACC basketball telecast. So I get to watch guys, people like Diamond Dave Odom, Coach Wake. And I always, you know, I always pulled for Wake a little bit because they're kind of the little guy. And, you know, didn't get any respect from any other schools. And, you know, so I like them. So I've seen the Deacon with his cane and whatever. What does he do with that cane? Beat people with it?
Yeah, yeah, like Charles Sumner in the Congress kind of deal.
The Demon Deacon. It's Charles Sumner. Kind of cane you. God almighty. It's like,
I love it. Who, so you think UConn's going to win?
I think Purdue.
Do you think Purdue? You're going Purdue?
I'm going Purdue.
Because my heart wants State
Alabama.
To win. Really?
Or NC State. I'd like Alabama probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love it if State won because I could take the Wolfpack or leave the Wolfpack. I know some of their Homer fans get on my nerves. Some of them do not. Most of them do not. I like the people. I didn't like Debbie Yao. Their athletic director, because she made some snide comments about the SEC one day, and I was like, you guys would be very fortunate if you got in the SEC. So keep kissing Chapel Hill's butt. Keep your nose up your big brother's butt here, Debbie, and all that. But I like Jim Valvano, though. Jim Valvano, his message, watching his teams play growing up on Raycom, like he used to say, always thought he was a stand-up guy. Loved him when he did television. I mean, there used to be a two-man crew or three-man crew of, like, I don't know if it was Brad Nessler or not. I don't remember who was play-by-play. Maybe Mike Patrick. Mike Patrick, Dick Vitale, and Jim Valvano. Can you imagine that broadcast? Oh, right. It's unbelievable, baby. Yeah. Let me just tell you, Dickie V, it's Jim Valvano. And, you know, so Burns being a South Carolina kid and, you know, a big guy like myself.
I love it.
I mean, the possibilities are endless. And Zach Edey lost me. And this is why I think Purdue will win, because now I don't really like Zach Edey. And so that's my luck, you know, they'll win. He lost me when he talked all the smack about Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes didn't love me and appreciate. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, let's cry.
Yes.
Rick Barnes, I got my last laugh on you, Ricky. Shut up.
You'd think a guy that big would have better defensive stats, but he's more of a, you know,
He's foul just a big guy.
Getter. He just clogs up, you know. Just allow him to stand around for
Okitawa solo.
Nah, man. So I would love to see NC State win it, but you know, I have a lot of Alabama friends, and you know, if it'd make them happy. But SEC teams, gosh, I guess Kentucky's the last SEC team to make Monday. Because Auburn and Carolina both.
Yeah. Knocked
that Auburn loss to Virginia. If I were an Auburn fan, I'd never get over it. I mean, that was so anyway. Well, it's about time to go, Phil, isn't it?
Yeah, man, we made it. We did it. We played all the breaks. We didn't have to double any of them. We're going to pat ourselves on the back here.
Yes. You know? I am happy as a pig in slop about that. So,
yes.
All right. So, folks, join us. Just got the word. We're going to have a JC and Morgan on Tuesday morning this coming week. Tom Luganville has a lot to say. He's been texting me. And so, Lugs is going to come back on.
All right.
I don't think you're going to want to miss that one. We'll be back, of course, with ITG Monday morning. John Whittle definitely will be in, and maybe some other fun guests on Monday, and maybe we'll have a national championship to celebrate and a good solid baseball weekend. And hopefully we get word that the Tartan Festival went off without a hitch.
Yes.
And I want to hear from some of you that went, you know, send us some pictures or something.
Yeah, no doubt.
Inside the Gamecocks at gmail.com. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get on out of here. For Phil Mullinax, this is J.C. Sherbert, Jamie Bradford. We'll be back next week. We appreciate you joining us for a wonderful week of Inside the Gamecocks. Download the Chief Sports app. Please go subscribe to our YouTube page. Go to our podcast page. Rate us 5 stars. Do us a favor. Do us a solid. Do all.
Doesn't cost you anything.
Doesn't cost you a dime. Best things in life are free.
That's
all right. We're going to get out of here. See you next time on ITG The Show.